Hello, Nicole.
Hello. There we go. And video. Morning, or after, actually evening, where you are.
Afternoon. You have another background than usual.
Yeah, this is my home office.
Ah,
I'm normally
nice.
at work today, but scheduling.
And your flowers are alive.
Yes. Yeah. That tree, it has a pot that's about this big, but it's grown like so much. And we got it for free on the side of the road.
I'm taking very good care of everything that grows in my garden in my summer cottage, but I don't do anything with poor plants at home.
It's yeah, remembering to water seems so simple, but is the hardest thing. Welcome all. Good morning, afternoon, evening, depending on location.
Somehow
And
this morning feels extra early morning for me. You know, some days are fine. Today's extra early.
feel that too. I feel that too.
Yeah.
Brain's a little foggy this morning.
It's still technically summer, so I think we're all there with you. Yes. And Damien, you're on summer vacation even.
That is true, but thought I'd make an appearance. I may be slightly
Yay.
distracted, but I'm
So
here.
glad you did. Awesome.
Yes, well, so yes, we're adjusting. The fall is coming. I know our students are coming back soon, and I will hopefully be less brain foggy in the next few weeks coming up. But hey, we're still in summer, so totally okay if you forget some things today. But we do have a pretty busy agenda, which is exciting. So I wanted to go ahead and start us off with the updates. And these are from a while back. I just wanted to make sure I had told this group that we had a wonderful presentation on locate and EDS patron empowerment at the Implementer SIG. And so I put a link to that recording. I know as I have questions about locate, it's going to be handy for me to go back and review and see in person, like some screenshots about that. And then I also went to the last SIG conveners meeting with Product Council, where we discussed the prioritization list. And they have not reached out to me for that smaller meeting where they're going to discuss the Discovery SIG's particular prioritization, but they will. And then I'll reach out to this group to see who's interested in joining that meeting, because I think everybody who attends these meetings might be interested in coming and discussing why we've chosen what we've chosen for that list. I also put a link to the Folio Vision Doc that's coming from Product Council. They just wanted a short document that they could give to people looking at Folio, and they welcome your comments and suggestions in that document. So, any questions about either of those updates? Does anybody have any of their own updates they want to talk about before we jump into the discussion? Oh, gotcha, Sarah. Okay, so first thing I wanted to bring up is Tammy, the multi-item request process you've been discussing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nicole. So I'm going to play two roles here. One is going to be my EBSCO role, and one is going to be my discovery role. So I'm going to try to separate those out pretty clearly. So as product manager for Locate, I have a specific interest in how that some of this multi-requesting functionality is presented to users. But I'm going to back up and talk about the Folio Because Stephanie from the Folio group, the PO for a lot of this functionality, wanted to attend today to discuss this issue with you more in detail in terms of how Folio functions and what the desirability might be there. So I'm attempting to at least talk about some of the work that she's doing, and then she wants to invite you to meet with her one-on-one if you have specific feedback about the Folio functionality in particular. So I just want to extend that this is definitely from the Folio side of things. EBSCO's not involved in that part of it, and she really would love your feedback on that. And the feedback she has specifically been requesting, and I'll paste this here in terms of the work she's looking at. And the impetus for this is the Library of Congress. It has asked for this. Oops, let me, oh, it's not, hold on one sec here. The Library of Congress has asked for this functionality of requesting multiple serials for patrons. And just let me request this real quick. Copy link. So basically, when patrons go in, does that link work for you? Hopefully. Doesn't look like a regular link, but hopefully it does work. Yeah. Okay, great. So the idea is, the Library of Congress, their use case is they have a lot of researchers that either come into the library or they're requesting things online, and they want a lot of volumes, a lot of copies requested at once because they're maybe going to be there in person for a weekend and they want to do a lot of research while they're there. So the idea of requesting one volume at a time is not helpful for their user population. So they need to be able to request lots of different volumes of a serial or parts of an item at once. And the idea was maybe we need to have a title level request functionality or to be able to request multiple items at once. So this Folio work here was written up to answer the Library of Congress's use case for requesting multiple items at once. It does have some dependencies on the Edge APIs. There's some Eureka performance issue considerations in there as well. But basically, this is the work that they're looking at for adding what I thought was something that we had actually discussed in this group previously, requesting multiple items at once through one API call, basically. So EDS right now, the way we're answering this, because this functionality doesn't exist in Folio right now, what we're doing is we're allowing a patron to actually select multiple volumes and then kind of like storing it in their session information, and then we're submitting it all at once, which I think maybe is what ViewFind is doing as well. Is that correct, Damien?
We don't really have a
Okay.
multi-request functionality at all. I think you might be thinking of multi-renewal as the thing we've discussed
Oh,
in the
okay. Yeah,
past.
right. That's right. That's what we discussed. So it's somewhat different. Yes, you're absolutely right. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
So this is requesting, yeah.
the lack of uniform rules makes multi-request a lot more complicated.
Okay. Yep. Absolutely. Please take a look at this Folio functionality. In addition to this, and we can discuss this to start with if that's more convenient, and then I can talk about maybe the locate discovery layer, some questions related to that interface. So, questions, concerns, topics related to this Folio feature. It is part of a bigger, I guess, area of work that Folio is looking at for multi-volume series and continuing resources, and I'll send a link to that as well. So this is a, they're kind of looking at all of this work right now, trying to figure out what the best way to move forward with some of this is. And Sarah's saying we have the multi-request ability in Blacklight.
Yeah, but to be fair, I don't know exactly how we're achieving that. But either way, I'm sure we would be happy to reduce how much we're having to. We'd support the development for sure.
So I can put Sarah's contact information in the chat for any of you that want to contact her directly and set up a one-on-one to discuss that, so that I'm not the middleman that doesn't really understand some of this work. So I could do that here and send her information. But any other comments on this as on the Folio side of it before we move into like the UI? Okay. So now for the locate UI, what we are making some decisions, and this actually might play over into other Discover UIs as well, because I think it's the basic functionality. It's not specific to locate. But this idea that the question of actually implementing this on the UI is, do we offer patrons the ability to select multiple items based on the type of item that it is? So for example, if it's a serial publication, do we offer a multi-request form for that? Or do we simply say you can actually request multiple items no matter what the format of the item is? So because maybe, for example, there might be I think there was an example that was put in the chat last week that there might be multiple books in a series that are not necessarily serial publications, but could be involved in that like multi-requesting process. So I would love to get a little feedback from you guys if that is a use case that you see valuable, allowing patrons to select multiple items in a request, regardless of whether it's serial publication, or would it be more valuable to determine if it truly is some sort of serial or multi-part publication and then only offer that at that time? And in addition to that, is there any downside of offering multi-item requesting for things that maybe not be serial publications? Like, are there any implications for libraries for that requesting that might be negative that you guys might know about or think about?
Regarding the last part, that could well, it must not change the way title level requests behaves currently when it's not possible to request several items for the same book, because otherwise the same student would request several items of a course book, and that would not be good. So that has to be avoided.
Just out of curiosity, if the default was set to select one item, does that factor into it? Or in your mind, is it still important that they not be allowed the option to select multiple items?
They should not be allowed. Not for a course book heavy library, at least.
Great. There's a hand up, McAfee.
Yeah, I'm thinking of failure mode scenarios. So if you're requesting, so maybe this is more applicable to public libraries, but if you have a limit of how many items you can request at a time, and requesting one item you'd still be fine, but requesting all n items you wouldn't be, how is that handled? Similarly, when you brought up the series, I'm thinking like, someone's, book one and three are both achievable, but book two is blocked, for some reason. Do you really want book three yet? Does that make sense? So there might need to be some user input in the failure scenarios, which I've seen some applications do. If you can't do all of these, should you still achieve any of them? That sort of thing.
Thank you. Sarah, go ahead.
So I was thinking more along the lines of Marie. So it's kind of a follow-up comment. Just because I know we have some pretty complicated logic in order to achieve our multi-requesting to try to separate out records that are multi-volume versus multi-copy. And that is so hard in an ILS right now. Like, it's really, really hard to figure out what's a multi-volume and what's a multi-copy, and it causes us trouble in requesting in the request service on a regular basis. So I almost want to go even further and be like, can we define or figure out some mechanisms for differentiating between multi-volume and multi-copy? Because that would help a lot of us, I think. And could help differentiate, in this scenario and maybe others as well. It doesn't seem quite enough to use material type or like serial doesn't get you all the way. It gets you closer, but it certainly it doesn't solve the problem for you. And then you run into the issue in user experience of like, why are some things requestable multi and some are not? And it's really messy really fast. So I'd be, I think, more interested in the more complicated question of volume copy.
That is an awesome question. And thank you, Sarah, for bringing that forward. Damien, go ahead. And then I'm going to talk about what Kalila just shared with me this week on that front. So go ahead, Damien.
So in addition to what Sarah just said about differentiating between different types of items, there's also the complexity in some institutions of having multiple locations, multiple pickup sites, rules about which things can go from which place to which other place. So, the reason ViewFind has never attempted this is because having all these combinations accounted for in every possibility seems impossible. So you kind of have to rely on some local specificity to narrow down the use case enough. But in any case, the other thing I wanted to say is there's also kind of two possible workflows to this that you have to think about. One being the user says, I want to request this thing. And then we say, which items do you want? The other being the user is looking at the list of items already and says, I want to request these items. And I think thinking about which workflow is preferable could also have significant impact on how the whole user experience ends up working. Like, do you create a request cart and then sort out where these requests go? Or is this really just a start the process and then show them their options? It's complicated no matter how you do it, but where the complication lives could shift around.
Yeah, really good points. And that's why like the UI like really plays into this right off the bat, right? Is how you display that to the users. And in addition, like some of the dealing with some of the holdings information that we're displaying too, and make sure the right information is coming out at the time they're doing the request so that they know, like, for example, this one's not requestable, or this one's, unavailable, or this one has that these notes on the, the cover or something like that that would be really valuable as the user's doing that requesting is hard to figure out too, and where that data is coming from, and making sure that that's at the place that the user wants to do the request. I do want to go back to what Sarah said, because I think this is like some of the issue we're trying to solve too, is that we can't determine based on format, based on, like there's so many things that right now we can't determine if something is, like you said, the difference between versus multi-copy versus multi-volume. And Kalila said something to me that I had not heard before. And obviously I'm new a lot of the Folio stuff. So maybe you guys have already heard this, but she said you can determine if something is some sort of serial publication based off mode of issuance and the nature of content. Is that the case for all of the libraries here, that you can actually determine if something is a publication that is multi-volume based on that, or is that not the case for you? I would love to hear if you guys think that is true.
We are Chalmers. We have motivations serials for every serial, so that's fine. There is another integer resource, I think. The I it's a field in the MARC record, leader position 7, I think, and it's the I, which is. I think it's
Integrating.
integrated resource, and that's at least many of the but we are not, for some reason, not using it. I don't know why, but it should say that it's a multi-volume work, I think. Or am I right?
But I think it's interesting if you're not using it. Possibly a lot of other libraries are not using it as well. And is that like a data problem that, we're going to build something and there's going to be no data
Maybe you should ask the resource access SIG about that.
that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why we are not getting it.
Some of the issue I think is just mapping, kind of the retroactive mapping, as new, and that's kind of an ongoing issue that's being worked on. So, you know, for example, like a lot of our things that migrated don't have a mode of issuance yet because we haven't said, oh, we're going to take the system off for a week and remap everything. And so that's a Ryan Taylor and data import group kind of issue overall in terms of the mark to instance and or SRS to instance mapping. I just wanted to add though that nature of content is not a field that we decided to implement. So that's not a universal.
Thank you, Jim.
I think we did, but, and I am not a developer, I'm a service manager. So Corey would know the answer to this, but whether or not you have access to that information in the moment of the request, I think is a big question. Yeah. Like whether or not you know that in the moment. And maybe you have to build that into your indexing pipeline in another way, but we have super smart developers and I would have expect, like we talk about this problem all the time and I can't, my only understanding is that this is wicked hard to figure out and we haven't been able to, even with a lot of resources, to figure out how to do this. So that's my technical explanation of why we don't do this, and Corey could definitely fill in the gaps.
And you put in chat here the idea that requesting would only be on a single instance and you might not have the metadata you really need to show patrons at the time for other instances. Is that, can you
yeah, talk more? I think I just assumed it was after Damien's comment that this would be multi-requesting of a serial on a single instance, right? So that ability to be like, I want 75 and 78 and 93 and, you know, not I want these plus these records from this other instance too. So maybe I just misunderstood either Damien's comment or, so I just wanted to clarify that this was instance specific. And then, yeah, I think just the amount of information that you have at your disposal at the moment of the request, like we're already kind of, at least for Stanford, we're already checking a lot of things, circ rules, temporary, you know, like we're checking a lot of things in order to determine, is this particular item requestable in this moment? And to Damien's point, can it go to the service point that they want it to, you know, versus like 75 might be in a temporary status of some kind and it's requestable, but it might have limitations on it that's different than volume 98. And that's all complicated and it's not a reason not to do it. It's just, you have to acknowledge the complication, I think.
Great point, Sarah. Marie, go ahead.
Yeah, I know we are not Library of Congress and we are a small library with not so many use cases for this, but we are using a super simple solution to just have a custom link to a mail form instead where the user can, because our use cases is most like, well, I want to look at everything from 1973 to 76. I don't know the volumes. I don't know anything. I just give it to me and put it somewhere and I will check it. Or it could be a specific issue. And so we just refer to that form and we do it for motivation series. We would love to do it for to kind of flag more where we would do it, but that takes away all the complications. But it's not beautiful.
Yeah. But it is, since there are so many different ways of requesting or things people may want, it does work.
It works, but we would actually would like to have that some kind of flagging to have it on more than series.
Yeah. I want to go back to an assumption that I had, but I want to validate it with you guys too. So we've had a couple people within EBSCO talk about, well, we should just do title level requesting and request everything that's in a title. And my thought was that could cause some significant issues if you were right. Okay. All right. Just wanted to check because I was like, I don't think we want to do that. All right. So because that would just be like, I can't even imagine that request coming in.
Titles are often not unique if you're trying to do the multi, you know, multi instances of things, but it's also because of all of the complications around requesting and circles and locations and all of that.
Yeah.
It's really complicated.
And plus it might be gigantic. I mean, you might have, you know, in 1885 through 2019, and what do you do with that request? Right. Yeah.
Right.
So, okay.
I think I do want to say, like, I mean, there's a lot of complications here, but there is some a structure to help manage through those complications in CERC rules and things like that. I mean, there's a request policy that you could define in settings. And, like, I mean, there are things that you can do to get around these complications using existing structure, I think. So to not to end on, you know, a downer, I guess.
From the folio side, I think it is worth looking at what can be controlled through request policy versus request policies versus circulation rules, and how that applies, you know, how those interplay, because it may well be that there just needs to be more flexibility in specifying certain kinds of requests or.
Very complex. All right. Well, I don't want to take up everybody else's time too much, but this was an awesome discussion. Thank you guys for talking through it with me. And Damian, anything else to add from the ViewFind side of things too, that you think we should pay attention to more, or things that are barriers?
Well, I did just want to address what Sarah said about one instance at a time, that everything I said was, you know, with one instance at a time in mind, though it is also a fairly common request to say, why can't we get the request button elevated to the search results screen? And you know that once you have it there, then they're going to say, why can't we request all of these at once? So I think everything is always on the table. It's just a question of, you know, what can we realistically achieve? And again, like, what I was really thinking about was the difference between presenting all the volume information up front and letting them pick them, or hiding that behind a request button that then presents that information. And people like each of those options for different reasons. And different ones work better depending on the volume of information as well. And we have this unfortunate situation where sometimes it's really simple and straightforward, and sometimes there are 6,000 volumes, and what do you do with that?
Right. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to make everybody happy. Discovery, for sure.
Yeah. All right. I hope, I think your central question, Tammy, about, do you want to do this on everything, or do we want a way of limiting this functionality to just certain records? Hopefully people have given you some context for that. It seems like there's a strong feeling, at least among this group, that, yeah, we do want to select the records. Although I'm sure there's some libraries who are like, nope, I'm fine with putting it on everything and seeing what happens. So that could be in the next step, is like, okay, how do we do that in a way that works for the most people and is not too complicated, which is not an easy question to answer, I know. But feel free to reach back out. Like, if you want examples, I mean, of actual records that we have of what that mark looks like, or to, as you get, you know, you talk to MMSIG, you talk to RASIG, and they say, hey, you could use this value. And you just say, hey, if we use this value, you know, would this work for you? Because I think that's where you'll kind of find out which method works best and is simplest.
Yeah, it's definitely going between groups, right? Yeah. Thank you so much.
If I could throw one last thought in, it may be that I think no matter what you do, you have to acknowledge that there are limits to what can be achieved. And maybe a way to make this approachable is to figure out what you do when you hit those limits. You know, like, maybe it is, if certain conditions are met, this actually isn't complicated. We can provide an easy form, make it easy. If other conditions are met, we know this is going to require human intervention. So we just provide a form saying, you should contact your library and get help with this. And then, you know, see how often that form comes up. Maybe an easy solution solves 90% of the cases and it's fine. maybe not, but that would be a way to start chipping off parts of the problem incrementally.
Yeah, I would turn this on for serials in a heartbeat, and then people would complain about it not being there for my archive boxes, and I'd be like, well, it's coming. You know, like that's how I would approach it as a person who configures the services. Cool. Okay. So thank you for that excellent discussion. And please, as you have thoughts, just put them in the discovery chat. And Tammy, also thank you for sending the images of those mock-ups. I'll try to remember to like go back and include them in this, the meeting notes, because I think they were very helpful
Cool.
to help visualize the process. Next up we have, oh, I did want to talk about the linked data for discovery affinity group. So they reached out to me and Laura over at Metadata Management SIG about doing a presentation. And they gave us these 2 dates, October 7th or October 21st, because they wanted to talk about linked data and how we're viewing how Folio linked data can be implemented in discovery. And I was like, yeah, I don't design anything. I have ideas certainly about how this could happen. But what do you even mean when you say linked data? Because, you know, Laura has a very like metadata, the metadata SIG and the linked data SIG. Linked data means BibFrame and the structures. They're maybe not always BibFrame, but they're generally just talking about BibFrame and the structure, the linked data app within Folio and its ability to create specific linked data records that can be exported in a specific file format type. So I feel like the linked data SIG is talking about very specific technical implementation, whereas the discovery side, it's a much wider field, right? Like I think EDS is currently doing stuff with linked data that has nothing to do with like MARC records or any of that type of stuff. So I just wanted to bring it to this group to see if those of you who are involved in some of this activity on the discovery side would be willing and able to present on either of these dates. MacBee.
I was just going to agree with your general point. At Lehigh, some of my colleagues are working with Share VDE. We have for a couple of years and index data on some pilots with linked data, and we're starting to talk about the discovery side of that as well as proof of concepts and prototypes. There's supposedly there's a not supposedly there's an ID field that's going to be added to the Folio instance record. As administrative data, which is like pointing to an external unique ID for linked data purposes, that'll be coming in Trillium, but before that, you could simulate that ID using an instance node or something like that. So we'll be having some conversations about, okay, if you had that ID, what would you do with it? Would you index it into your discovery layer? Would you load it live in your discovery layer? What would you do after you did that? I have no answers to any of this, but the point is that we're starting to have these conversations. And so, yes, the linked data slash discovery slash Folio conversation is a great one and wider than just BibFrame.
Thank you for that. Would you be willing to talk about some of that discussion?
We're at
Are you
like day
available?
negative one on that, so I have like nothing. I know that. I think there'll be a Wolfcon presentation related to it, though. I think the Share VDE folks and my colleague Lisa McCall are presenting something about that, and that may include something that we end up doing in discovery. But I have zero idea what that would be, and we haven't even had an initial meeting on it yet.
Okay.
So I'm really just supporting your general point that there's definitely a lot out there.
Yeah, because I think about ViewFind and how we have the Hathi trust, and even that is kind of a form because we're using identifiers within the record to pull that Hathi trust, and then Damien and the Google Books, like that whole functionality is rudimentary, but it is an example of what going forward, like what we're expecting this to do, right? We're expecting there to be identifier and that to link to the stuff. And that stuff to do things. And that's a big net. So yeah, that's why I was kind of struggling when they asked me this, like who would present on this and what would they present? But I think anything, if anyone's working on anything or has ideas,
Is Stanford doing anything? Because you guys have Huda now, and I'm guessing you must have some cool stuff in the works.
I'm sitting here being like, what should I say? Because we're recording. I think Stanford still has big questions about what are the use cases that are solved by linked data. I think linked data right now is being driven primarily by our technical services folks in to say like this is what could be done with it. But I haven't like I think we still have important and interesting questions around, so like from the other side, like what is the user problem that's being solved by linked data and meeting in the middle. And I think therein, so the answer is practically, we're doing a whole lot on the technical services side and, you know, making sure that Folio has an identifier field so that we could do something with it. And on the discovery side, we're definitely slower and we're watching things like the Cornell has done. Like we're asking for user statistics on what Cornell has done. Like, are you getting people who click on this author link? Are there like, you know, and I think we're still a little bit, it's embarrassing to say, but we're a little bit still in wait and see mode. Like, we know we have this capability. What do we need to do with it? A little bit. And that maybe I should just qualify as my own sort of both skepticism and opportunity, like watching opportunity. It's a lot of work, and I think we're still trying to figure out like where's the value in the user, not questioning if there is value, but looking for where the value is so that we can spend our time wisely, and especially in 2025 and 2026. Like, let's just be honest. Like, there's a lot of other things that we need to spend our resources on right now.
And then Tammy, I know EBSCO is coming out with their author link.
Yeah, and Gloria Gonzalez, so I'm pretty close with Gloria. She's kind of running a lot of that in EDS right now. So if you're interested in having anyone present on that, I would recommend her. She's awesome, but she could talk kind of exactly what's going on the EDS side, because I don't work as much in that area. So if you're interested, I could ask her.
Yeah, no, if you could reach out, I
Okay.
think that would be great.
Yeah, she's great. I really like working with her.
And like I could certainly talk about our experience to go back to like the HathiTrust button and like the viewfind capabilities that are now like because we do collect usage data on that, especially the HathiTrust integration was a result of another project where we were basically we had an 856 field that sent people to HathiTrust with no search terms. So like and it's still live. Like we still have the 856 field. I want to remove it. But you know, like it's been competing with this button, and I can talk about, you know, do people see the button? Do they use the button? How many people are using the button? Just as a like, and then we also do the Wikipedia author integration, although we're not using authority with any of it yet. Just to maybe start that conversation about using identifier fields to link to other information and what is the user benefit of this and what are the issues that we run into when we're trying to do this. But I just want to make sure this is what people are thinking of as linked data and I'm not like completely misunderstanding the concept of linked data because that could be it as well. MacBee.
I think to what you were just saying, Nicole, and to what Sarah was saying earlier, it's one lens of this is not just what we can do with linked data and discovery, but what we can do with linked data and discovery that we can't do without linked data and discovery. Because like that Wikipedia linking feature, you know, or simple sort of like, I don't know, 15 years ago, we were using like Syndetics integrated into the Voyager OPAC to like pull in external content based on very primitive concepts of linked data, like ISBN number, you know. So, and like in terms of linking together one of the use cases that we've been exploring at Lehigh is like we have a collection where we have the same publication translated into like 20 different languages because it was a newsletter that was published in many different languages. So there's some LinkedIn aspects there, but you can also do that in ViewFind with like the record versions, you know, feature. Like there are other ways to group those things without those IDs. So it's like, what new do you get that or better? Like how does LinkData do it either uniquely or betterly? Betterly is definitely a word I'm sticking to that.
I like it. Sarah?
Yeah, and I think maybe not to dominate conversation, but just to say that we finally just released our new redesigned catalog just in the last week and a half. So yay! And so we're getting great feedback. And it's been interesting as we prepared for this particular redesign, asking questions of both staff and users. And with an interesting, like we didn't ask specifically about linked data. We would need to do user testing and staff interviewing, I think, on that in particular in the UI. But I think there's a lot of question around and some evidence that at least our faculty and grad students are not particularly interested in having that stuff in the catalog. They go elsewhere. They send users elsewhere. So there's this question of like, what is noise in the catalog? What is too much? What is annoying? As a research university, you send users elsewhere. You're not generally relying on this. And we've tried to sort of counter and say, well, but what about those undergrads that it's 3 a.m. and they just need a little bit, you know, and could we get them to a little bit better at 3 a.m.? And I think that use case exists, but we have to, in our discovery team, balance that with our other user base who is annoyed by external things creeping into the catalog, right? And so then you get that, like, do I bury a link? Well, then can the user find the link? Like, it just adds, like, this discussion, I think maybe we've been having it at Stanford for a couple of years now, and without a whole lot of like pushing forward. And maybe what we need to do in pushing forward is that user testing and staff interviewing that I was just talking about that so far we haven't prioritized. And that's where I'm really, really interested if anyone else is doing that user testing and staff interviewing and what those use cases are that are coming up for other institutions.
Wow, well, that's excellent, excellent framing, like for the whole presentation. So, like, what's the point? What are the features this will feed into? And do people actually want these features? Which, Damien, I know you've asked numerous times in the past when people ask you about linked data and ViewFind, you're like, okay, what? Like, what feature do you want to see? And how is linked data going to help you get there better than doing it another way? So yes, Tammy, if you could reach out to Gloria, I think that's some practical, like a lot of like actual practical work is being done. And if Gloria could also talk about some of the usability testing around it, like, cause I know EBSCO does that as well. I think that'd be fascinating.
Yeah, I'm totally happy to do that. And we do have some UX research too on why we did what we did for EDS specifically. So I could ask Gloria to bring that up. I think it's shareable. I can't imagine it's not shareable, and it might have been shared at some user group recently, but that might be really interesting too, since we do have some UX researchers that have done that work and can talk about kind of what that user feedback was.
Perfect. And I know they're pretty flexible with dates. So like once you get the like, yes, we're interested in doing something like this, we can work with the group to find a time that works for your team as well.
Okay, yeah. I just sent her a note, and then I'll just let you know, because she has a pretty busy schedule, but I'll see if she's available.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah, we can push it out. Like, they're very flexible. I think they're just really excited to have this conversation about, you know, what are we looking to do, and what have we already done, and how has it gone with users? Well, thank you for that all. I do realize we're coming up about quarter to the hour. And our next item is that prioritization list, which is a lot. And I want to acknowledge the work that's been done already in that prioritization list, with people kind of going in, filling out things, trying to get some labels that might help group these basically older tickets that were found by burnt to see, do we track these? Are these things we care about? Are these things that are going to help improve discovery? And I was going to ask this group, do we want to just kind of go through it really quickly to figure out how we want to move forward with the labels? Damien had some excellent questions about this list. Or Damien, do you want to start off by just kind of talking about your experience going through this list and your ideas for maybe taking it forward?
That would require me to remember things. And I think
No
I did
pressure.
most of my digging during last month's meeting, and it has all fallen out of my head. But I could certainly look at it again and try to refresh my memory, but I'm afraid it's not
Yeah.
there right now. Yes, remembering things on vacation is very difficult.
Yeah, I'm also totally okay if we want to like push this to the next meeting because our brains are fried at this point. And if give people back maybe some time to like look through this, specifically look at the labels that are being suggested, because we have a set. I did a quick like Excel sheet before I came here. Famous last words about nine terms that we came up with that look. And Vern, great. Did you have some comments you wanted to make about this list and how
No,
it's going?
not really. I just wanted to say I would prefer to push it to the next meeting
Okay.
because I haven't had the time actually to look into this. The remaining time today I had, I actually spent watching the presentation from the Implementasig, which was very interesting, especially the comments about the way locate and EDS might develop in the future. I would like to hear more about that at some point, if tell me if you can share more information about that. But I will add the OPAC search to the list, but I haven't simply felt the time in the past 2 weeks.
No, that's totally okay. So we can move this discussion to the next 2 weeks, give people some more time to look over the comments, maybe make their own. And I will maybe just like post somewhere in here the list of terms we already have come up with so we can kind of start seeing the labels and just a generic form decide, yes, that's the way we want to go, or no, these are terrible. We need to rethink this whole approach. Always good to know at the beginning of a project and not the end.
I'd also suggest that if no one else objects, maybe it would be justified to use an at here notification on the Discovery Channel a day or two before the next meeting saying, hey, everybody, refresh your memories on this stuff so we can have a productive conversation tomorrow. And that would certainly be helpful for me.
Duly noted, and I will put my own reminder on to. Although anybody can do this, I don't want to claim, but I will definitely make it my goal to put a reminder on. At
Yeah,
least
I
it's
think
hard
we
because we're on
can.
a Tuesday and I don't want to do it on a Thursday. And people are like, I'll do it on Monday. And then they forget. I can
Yeah,
do it
I
twice.
think some Sikhs use the Slack bot to set out the reminder. So that might be an option.
Ah, good point. Good point. I could time it. I like that. All right, so I'll move this to the next meeting. Any other updates or comments that people wanted to make for discovery? I know there's been a lot of action in that search list that you have below. I was like, wow, there's a lot of new tickets, and I think some of these are very relevant to us, like that the serial stuff. So, but I'm not going to go there because I know it's summer and we're not ready yet. But like, yes, if you haven't had a chance, also look at that list below and some of the new tickets that I've put it in.
Maybe just a comment about the batch renewal. I don't know if you've seen this, but it was, I think it was umbrella candidate. Now it's moved back to batch. And we don't have a product owner anymore, I think, for that ticket.
No.
I've seen things moving, but I haven't investigated exactly what they all meant.
Thought it was Stephanie for that too. Is that wrong? My
Sorry, which one are we talking about?
UX prod 84805. I will put that in the chat for everybody. Right, it's the API endpoint for batch renewal.
Yep.
Good. It wasn't a request one. I saw that I was mistakenly assigned to a Jira, so I removed myself. But this was not one.
Yeah, and it looks like it's been given a development team for Vega, but there is no PO.
Yeah, and it was umbrella candidate, now it's wedge candidate, so it has been moved back. I'm not sure why. I couldn't find any information about that, but when you look in the history, you should be able to see. Just let's see. Yeah, Anne Egbert was the assignee, and she has removed herself from that. I'm not sure why. But she has made the update from umbrella candidate to wedge candidate.
Oh, that's right. It was originally Stephanie, and then I was told it was Anne, and then so Anne's just removed her name from that. I haven't heard of that one. I can ask her real quick why that is the case. I'm not sure why that is.
You can see it in the history of the Jira issue. I think it's important that this doesn't drop back too far, but
I'll send Anne a note and just kind of ask for the history of why that might have happened.
yeah, I actually watched that ticket, so it makes sense if you want to keep up to date with the ticket to watch them. So you get a re all the information via email when something changes.
Yes, thank you for that update, and for watching that ticket. And it is also on our high priority list too, so yeah, hopefully we'll be able to discuss more too once that happens. But once again, I have not been reached out to yet, but I know they're going to be taking all of the rest of this year to do that process. Any other updates or questions people have? All right. If you want to go look at our prioritization list, yay. That's wonderful. I will send out reminders as well if you have other stuff going on right now. And thank you so much for attending today's meeting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy your vacation, Damien.
Bye. Will do. Bye.
Bye.